Amen. All right, we can take our hats off. We're going to open up the Word of God. The hat I was wearing was my Pawpaw's hat. And he passed away about 3 years ago. I miss him. But every time I put the hat on, it's got his handwriting on the inside where he wrote his name and address and phone number on the tag on the inside of it. Still has one of his napkins that he wiped his sweat with, you know, and you put it up in the inside of the hat. And I'm just going to keep the napkin in there if that's all right with y'all. And I like putting that hat on. This is Roundup Sunday, a little different. My shirt's not quite bright enough. I'm going to find me a neon orange one next year and wear it. But somebody gave me this shirt, so that makes it even better. Right? Didn't cost me anything. Didn't have to buy it. My sponsors gave it to me. Anyway, but this has always been just a great and fun day for us, and we thank you for being here this morning. But we've come to hear some preaching, come to hear the Word of God preached, amen. Let's turn to, if you would, to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Have you ever received good news? And though you found out it was very hard to think of it as being true, this morning we're going to hear that story of good news that was heard, and yet the one who heard the news really didn't believe it until there was evidence. Let's look here with me in Genesis chapter 45. Look with me, verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said to them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for just allowing us to be together, to meet together in the house of God this morning. We thank you for the beautiful day. Lord, we thank you that you gave us the Word of God to give us the good news. I pray this morning as we look and venture into your Word that you would open eyes, and that you would open hearts, that each of us would take in what you have for us this morning. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. I need you. I pray, Lord, that you would just give me the exact words to say. And those things you wouldn't want me to say, I pray that you would just withhold them from my mouth. Lord, bless again the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, many of us have received good news that when at first we heard it, we didn't believe. You think about when your wife first came to you and said, I'm going to have a baby. You're like, what? No. You're like, really? 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 And you kind of, whether it was on the phone or in person, you kind of, yeah, I want to believe. Yeah, woo, you know, and you get excited. I'll never forget good news that our church got when we bought this piece of property and found out we owned the mineral rights to it. We have 17 acres here. And about 3 weeks after we bought the property, I got a call from a gas well company. And they said, hey, we want to lease the minerals from you. I said, we don't own the minerals to this property. He said, yes, you do. I said, I don't believe you. I may not have said those exact words, but in my mind I was saying, I don't believe you. There's some mistake. You're going to have to show me in writing. And so, man, they brought the paperwork. They showed where they had found the records that the previous owner didn't keep the mineral rights, and they were given to Heritage Baptist Church. And, man, I'll never forget, just my disbelief almost as I was writing the names of myself and the trustees, writing our names on that document. It's just amazing. It was such good news. But so hard to believe, and really believed it when that first check came in. Amen. And but just great news. Here we see Jacob. He had lost his son 22 years prior to this story. 22 years prior to this, he had found out that his son Joseph was dead. Let me give you just a little background as we look at this message. I don't want to take too long. But you look back with me in chapter 37, you should be in Genesis anyway, and here we have the mention of Joseph. It says in verse 1, Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, notice how old he is there, 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And again, we don't have time to go through all of Joseph's life, but understand this morning that Joseph was a godly man, a godly young man, a 17-year-old who was right in the eyes of the Lord, who lived right and did right, and he was given a great responsibility from his father Jacob to keep an eye on his other brothers. And all of them older than him. And yet he was the one who was given that responsibility. And he brought back an evil report. And Joseph, verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made of him a coat of many colors. And when he saw his brethren, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So because Jacob loved Joseph more than his brothers despised him. They hated him. They hated him. They hated that Jacob would take partiality to this younger son. In fact, if you notice in Joseph's life, Jacob basically gave Joseph the firstborn's responsibility, treated him like the firstborn. And his other brothers hated him. They despised him. And one day, if you read the rest of the chapter, Joseph is going to see his brothers. And when Joseph got close, his brothers began to conspire against him. And they began to say, let's kill Joseph. I'm sick and tired. Again, this is my commentary on it. The brothers are saying, I'm sick and tired of that little, nothing telling us what we do, what we can do. In fact, Joseph had a dream, and in that dream, the sheaves of his brothers bowed down to his sheave. In that dream, the sun, moon, and stars bowed down to Joseph. So Joseph told his brothers, can you imagine that, telling your older brother, someday you're going to bow down to me? I have an older brother who's 4 years older than me. If I'd have told my older brother that, I wouldn't be living today. Until I got big enough to take care of him, right? Amen. So it's always great when the younger brother finally gets big enough to handle the older brother. I'm telling you, younger brothers out there, you better be careful. That little brother of yours might grow up to be a big guy. And then get fat, but anyway. But Joseph's brothers hated him. They hated him because of these dreams he had. They hated him, all that he was, because of his goodness. He was a good man. He was a good young man. And therefore, they conspired against him to kill him. Instead of killing him, they sold Joseph into slavery to the Midianite merchants who took Joseph, a 17-year-old boy. Imagine that, 17 years old. Is anybody over here 17? Eli, stand up. Eli's 17. 17-year-old boy. I didn't tell you to sit down. 17-year-old boy, now you can sit down. 17 years old and was sold into slavery by his brothers. And the Midianite merchants took Joseph down into Egypt and there sold him to Potiphar, one of the captains of the guards of the Roman army. Not the Roman army, that would be something, wouldn't it? Of the Egyptian army. And Potiphar, God blessed Joseph in Potiphar's house. And Joseph became the head of that house. In fact, the Bible says that Potiphar didn't know how much money he had. He didn't know what was going on in his house. Joseph managed the house. He managed the finances. God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. And yet, y'all know the story, most of you do, that Potiphar's wife began to flick her, eyelashes at Joseph and wanted Joseph. And Joseph kept telling her no. He said, listen, Potiphar's given me everything, but he's withheld you. I can't betray my boss that way. And she began to press him and press him and press him. And finally one day, Joseph was in the house alone with her. And he said no again, but this time she reached out and grabbed his coat when he ran. And then she accused him of immorality. And Potiphar came home and Potiphar's wife told Potiphar a lie and they threw Joseph in prison. Sold into slavery at age 17. Now he's thrown into prison for something he didn't do. But yet, even in prison, God blessed Joseph. And again, the jailer didn't let Joseph manage the jail. Let Joseph manage the prisoners. And God blessed Joseph even in jail. There in jail, Joseph met two guys. One was a butler and one was a baker. And one day these two men had dreams. And Joseph, by way of the Lord, interpreted these two dreams. Fast forward 2 years later, the butler is standing before Pharaoh giving him his cup, giving him his food. And Joseph and Pharaoh had had a dream, and Pharaoh was very perplexed and said, I can't find anyone to tell me this dream. And the butler said, I know somebody who can. And there Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. And there Joseph, he gave credit to God. He said, I won't interpret your dream, Pharaoh, but God will. And Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And this was the dream. The dream was, seven fat calves, seven skinny calves, seven ears of corn that were very good, like we're fixing to eat here in a little bit, and seven lean ears of corn. And Joseph said, God is telling you that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of harvest, 7 years of great plenty, and there'll be 7 years of famine. And so now, Pharaoh asked, who can we put in charge of this? And they put Joseph in charge. And Joseph became the second most powerful man in the world, second only to Pharaoh. Slavery, prison, vice president. It's amazing how God used Joseph in a mighty way. The famine came. The famine came, and the famine was also in the land of Canaan where Joseph was from. And they sent brothers down to get corn, and they bought corn the first time. But because of some other circumstances, Joseph kept Simeon there, one of the brothers, and said, when you come back, you better bring Benjamin with you, the younger brother. And again, I don't have time to tell those stories, but they come back the second time. They bring Benjamin, Joseph's younger brother, with them. And there, Joseph finally does reveal himself to his brothers and said, it's Joseph. I'm the brother you sold into slavery. And at first, the brothers were scared. They said, oh no, Joseph's going to wipe us out. And he said, listen, God did this to save you alive, that I might be in this position to save much people alive. God did it. And Joseph continued to give God the credit for being in his position and where God had put him. It's an amazing story. Amazing story. Listen, and this is not my message this morning necessarily, but listen, God's in control. No matter what circumstance you may be in your life, God works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Everything that God allows in your life, God is working to your good. He's working to my good, for me, for my benefit. God seeks the highest possible good for every one of His children. Just as I seek the highest possible good for my kids. And I have 5 of them. My brother has 9. God is seeking the best possible good for your life. When they come down the second time, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and said, I am Joseph. And almost, they disbelieved him. He said, I'm Joseph. Look, but he was speaking in their tongue, speaking in Hebrew. And he said, I'm Joseph. He said, Joseph said to his brothers, is my father alive? Is my father alive? Oh, yes, Joseph, he's alive. Well, I want you guys to go back and get him and bring all the family down. And they can live here in Egypt in the land of plenty. And so they sent him back. Joseph sent his brothers back to tell his father the good news that he was alive. Now look at verse 25 again. So now the brothers are coming up out of Genesis 45, verse 25. Now the brothers are coming up out of Egypt, and they come into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob's their fathers. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. You can just see him come running into the house. Joseph's alive. Joseph's alive. Your son is alive. And the Bible says there that Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. We see here several reactions from Jacob. Number one reaction from Jacob was unbelief. He didn't believe them. Listen, if my sons had lied to me 22 years earlier and told them that my youngest boy was dead, and they come back and say he's alive, I don't know that I believe him either. Amen? And they come back and they say, Joseph's alive. And Jacob's heart fainted. It just stopped and became cold. Just, again, disbelief. There are two kinds of unbelief found in the Bible or described in the Bible. One unbelief found in the Bible is found from a person who has just a lack of love for light and a love for darkness. Unbelief, listen, two kinds of unbelief. There are two types of people here in the auditorium and outside this auditorium when it comes to belief. There are those who don't believe simply because they like darkness rather than light. They like darkness rather than light. They like darkness rather than light. In other words, they love their sins. They hate truth. They don't want to be accountable to the Creator. They don't want to be subject to the God of the universe. They don't want to bow humbly before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they simply will not believe because they would rather live in their sin, live in darkness, and stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the light. I know people that way. Preacher, I'm just not quite done sowing my wild oats. I'm not quite done living in my sin. I'm just not ready to give it up. Unbelief. Number two, we see in this story an unbelief because the good news seems too good to be true. There may be some here in the auditorium who are in this type of unbelief. In other words, listen to this. It is not the product, this unbelief is not the product of a bad heart, but evidence of possibly a weak one. In other words, Jacob didn't believe his sons. It wasn't because he had a bad heart. It's just his heart was weakened because of their character and because of who they are. Listen, some of you don't know me from Adam. You have no clue who I am. And here I am up here screaming and hollering and dressed in yellow and got boots on and a hat on. I mean, some of you don't know me from anybody. You say, why should I believe this person? Why should I believe that preacher? Why should I believe that? And your unbelief is not because you have a bad heart or because you want to live in darkness or because you want to live in sin and because you like the way things are. It's just your heart has been weakened and it's unbelief. Unbelief. And it's almost like, to some, the news is too good to be true. Too good to be true. The good news. What good news? The good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, came 2,000 years ago. He was born in a little manger. A little baby, born in a manger. God became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says. And God became flesh there, and that little manger was born to Mary and to Joseph. And that boy, that baby, as he grew in stature and wisdom. The Bible says he lived a perfect life. Never one time did Jesus Christ sin. Never one time did Jesus Christ have a sinful thought. Never one time did he perform a sinful deed. Jesus Christ was perfect in every way. Jesus Christ, he lived that perfect life. And then, not because of crimes he committed, but for our sin, he allowed those Roman soldiers and the Jews to put him on the cross. And there Jesus Christ shed his blood for my sins. He gave his life for my sins. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You understand this morning, there is a penalty for sin. You say, well, I don't want to give up my sin. I don't want to... Well, if you don't give... You know, again, if you live in your sin, you'll pay for your sin. Whether you're lost or saved. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says that death, spoken of in Revelation, in Romans chapter 6, that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There is a hell. Just as true as there's a heaven. And listen, Jesus Christ came to save us from the penalty of sin. He came to save us from hell. And to forgive us our sins and give us a home in heaven and for all eternity. Listen, streets of gold, gates of pearls, water of life, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. Amen? Reunited with our loved ones and friends and family. And yet to some, it's too good to be true. To some, they recognize it, they hear it, and they say, no, I can't believe that. It's just too good to be true. Oh, Doubton Thomas. Y'all remember him? Over in John chapter 20, if you want to turn there quickly. John chapter 20. The church, after Jesus Christ had died, the church met for services. John chapter 20. The church, Jesus Christ had died and was buried, and the church was meeting for services. There was again those who said that Jesus had risen from the dead. In chapter 20, verse 1, you see Mary and those that had come to the sepulcher and found the sepulcher empty. Peter and John had found the sepulcher empty, and the disciples were gathered together there in John chapter 20, verse 19, the same day at the evening, being about the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, were the disciples, that is a church service, by the way. By the way, you shouldn't miss a church service. Look what Thomas missed. And shut the, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came, verse 19 now, John 20, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, and when he had so said, he showed them unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now look here, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, one of the apostles, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He said, I just can't believe it. The news is too good to be true. It can't be true. I saw him die. I saw that Roman soldier pierce that sword in his side. I saw the blood and the water come out of his body. I saw him take his last breath. I heard him say, it is finished. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Well, Jacob just couldn't believe that his son was alive. Again, it wasn't that he had a bad heart. It wasn't that Thomas had a bad heart. It was simply just too good to be true. Look back with me in Genesis chapter 45. Keep your finger over there in John 20. We'll come back to it. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph. And when he said unto them, and when he saw the wagons. That's the title of my message this morning. When he saw the wagons. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. When he saw the wagons. When he saw the wagons, he believed. He saw those wagons, if you go back and read, laden with all sorts of riches and food and spices and fruit from Egypt. He saw the greatness and the vastness of the wagons and all that Joseph had sent. He said, and his spirit revived. He believed. He believed. He believed. John chapter 20 again, here with Thomas, verse 26. The Bible says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and he said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. But Jesus says, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old, though I've never seen Jesus Christ, and even at that age, hadn't really personally experienced some of the promises and the miracles that God has done for me since then, and yet I reached out in belief and faith and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there are many like that who may have never really seen God do miraculous things, and yet they believe anyway. I believe Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. I believe Christ Jesus, our Lord, died on that cross for my sins, that He was buried, and I believe the third day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I believe it, though I have not seen it. By the way, my belief is stronger today than it was when I was 6 years old. Amen. But some have to see it. Some have to see it. You say, preacher, if Jesus can't come back and appear here this morning before us, how are we to see it? How is my heart that's not a bad heart, but is a weak heart? A heart that's weak, though I really would love what you're saying. I love what you're saying, that my sins can be forgiven and that I can escape hell and have a home in heaven. And that God, by the way, Jesus said He came to give us life and give us life more abundant. It's not that He gives us just eternal life, but He gives us a better life now. I want that life, amen? How can my faith be strengthened enough, preacher, to step out on that faith and believe the way you believe? It's simply this. And this is tough for Christians now. Listen to this, Christians. Those of you who are saved, I'm telling those who have a weakened heart, look around you. There is evidence here this morning. There's evidence all over this auditorium of Christ and His gospel. There's evidence all over here this morning of those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, and God has empowered and strengthened them and given them victory in their life. I know of families here this morning where the dad was an alcoholic and God saved him and freed him from that alcoholism and gave him a life. And I got a letter just here recently from one of those families who said, "Preacher, I'm so glad for this church. And man, our life has been so much different since we come to Heritage Baptist Church." It's not Heritage Baptist Church. It's Jesus Christ. He makes the difference in a life. You say, "Well, preacher, maybe you're the one with that bad heart. You just don't want to give up your sin." Listen, Jesus Christ will take you just as you are. And then He'll change you. He'll give you a new life. But there's evidence all over here this morning. People who have come to Jesus Christ and would testify to you of the great things He's done for them. I mean, He's done so much in my life. The miracles I've seen, the answer to prayers I've seen in my own life, it's not just an experiential salvation. It's a no-so salvation because I've seen it in my own life. Yes, sir. Listen, you can have salvation today. You say, "Well, it's too good to be true, preacher. You're saying if I simply put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I believe He lived and He died and rose again, that I'll have eternal life." If you put your faith in Him, and not baptism, and not church membership, and not being a good person, none of those things will get you to heaven. But if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you believe that He lived, He died, and He rose again, in order that we might have salvation, you put your trust in Him, you can have eternal life. You can have it today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to continue to push it off. But you can have that salvation today. We're going to sing an invitation here in just a moment. You can come down the aisle, and one of the workers down here will show you from the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, and you can have eternal life today and an abundant life. There's so much here as we look here. It says that when Jacob believed, his spirit revived. I'm telling you today, when you accept Christ as your Savior, your spirit comes alive. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. For those of you saved this morning, look at this one. Look at verse 28. Chapter 45, verse 28. Look at this. This is good here. The Bible says, verse 28, chapter 45, "And Israel said, 'It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die.'" Look back with me in verse 26. Look back with me in verse 25. It says, "And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father." Verse 26, it calls him Jacob's heart fainted. In verse 27, it says, "In the words of Joseph," and on there it says, "And the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived." But notice the change in verse 28. "And Israel said, 'It is enough.'" Israel, you remember back when Jacob had that wrestling match with the Lord? He had a wrestling match with the Lord, and God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Israel means father of nations. And when he got word that Joseph died, the Bible says that he mourned and would not be comforted. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 35, the Bible says, "And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'For I will go down to the grave into my son's mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." And you go on throughout the story in verse chapter 42, you see the same thing. He's still mourning. 22 years later, Jacob is still mourning the loss of his son Joseph. For 22 years, Jacob has lived in bitterness. For 22 years, Jacob has lived in sorrow. But all that just changed. When he saw the wagons, he believed. And his spirit revived. And once again, he was called Israel. I think of David's sin with Bathsheba. When he was approached by the prophet, and David repented of that sin of adultery with Bathsheba, he wrote Psalm 51. He said unto the Lord in Psalm 51, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Amen. Jacob's joy returned. Jacob's joy returned. David, when he repented of his sins, his joy returned. Maybe there are some Christians here this morning that you've lost your joy. You've lost the joy. Listen, come to Jesus, repent of those sins, the joy will return. Lay that bitterness down at His feet. He'll take care of that for you. When he saw the wagons, Jacob's, God's grace and mercy and provisions, it revived his heart. Listen, Christian, when you see God's grace in your life and you experience God's grace, His empowerment, when you experience God's mercy, when you experience God's promises by way of provision, your heart will be revived. It's happened many times in my life. Jacob saw the wagons. Are you here this morning with a heart of unbelief? Maybe you're just in that position where you like dark more than you like light. Listen, turn, repent. Oh, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ preached the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you just have a weakened heart, a disillusioned heart. You just say, well, it's too good to be true, preacher. It just can't be that easy. It just can't be that easy. You mean I just come to Jesus Christ, believe, and trust in Him, He forgives me my sins and gives me home in heaven? It's that easy. It really is. Jacob saw the wagons. Listen, Jesus has risen. The proof is in His people. The proof is in His promises. Over 500 people saw Him after His resurrection. He's changed us. He's provided for us. There's proof. Christians, oh man, the proof is us. The proof is the Word of God, but the proof is us. We better be careful how we live. Others are looking at our faith. We must be very careful. Lastly, I tell you what. There's a lot of messages in here. But Joseph told his brothers to go back and give their father a message. And here was the message he told them to give him. He said, go back and tell Jacob, my daddy. Go back and tell him that I'm alive. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. Joseph said, tell my daddy that I've been exalted, that I'm vice president of Egypt, that I'm the second most powerful man in the world. Listen, Jesus Christ today sits at the right hand of the throne of God. There He's making intercession for us. There He's for us there on our behalf to take care of us, provide for us. Lastly, Joseph told his brothers, go get daddy. Go get your little ones. Bring them here. Come back to me. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is alive. He's exalted, and He receives all who will come to Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's all stand.